What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher, and today we got quite a bit to unpack, just covering what went on this past week and looking ahead to next week, basketball and baseball, a little bit of football news, and so we'll just jump right into it. Football news, I'm sure everybody saw that Tennessee won their preliminary injunction in that case, and so it looks, you know, things look really good for Tennessee in that regard. I mean, I think we all kind of knew where this was headed. You know, a lot of people that hate on Tennessee for some reason just didn't value what was going on, even though, I mean, it really affects the entirety of college football, because if you let the NCAA bully one person, I mean, they're going to make an example out of anybody they want. And so it's good that Tennessee, alongside Virginia as well, stepped up, you know, stepped it to the plate. They were not scared, didn't back down, and, you know, they won. So everything looks good right now. You know, so all the people that were hoping and praying that Nico Iamaleava will not be the starting quarterback next year, I'm sorry to disappoint, but it looks like he is going to be fine. And that's really all I got. I mean, Tennessee made some hires to the football staff, and we're going to, you know, closer to football season, we're going to unpack the staff and all that good stuff. But, you know, they hired the linebackers coach away from Alabama. He was with Kalen DeBoer on his staff. So getting somebody like that that's, you know, kind of experienced and just taken away from Alabama too, who, you know, I'm sure if you ask Alabama fans, they'll say that they never wanted that guy. But, you know, we all know that it was kind of a blow when you take one of their own. So, you know, it's always good to see something like that happen. You know, it feels like a small victory over a big rival. So that's, you know, that's good. But, you know, outside of that, there's really not a lot of huge news right now going on with football. And we'll unpack a lot more of that stuff. And, oh, yeah, the Tennessee hired the Cincinnati running backs coach to come coach the running backs. If you didn't know that, Coach Mack is going to the, I believe, the Jaguars in the NFL. So it's going to be weird to now be rooting against him, as I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. So now we're going to get into basketball. Tennessee had a pretty victorious week. Started out really slow, but they ended up coming back and winning the game 72-67. My goodness, what a brutal start for both teams offensively. I believe at like the 12-minute mark in the game, 8 minutes past, it was still about 4-2, I believe it was. It's just one of the ugliest starts of a basketball game I've ever seen. And it's not one of those where it's like, oh, if you like defense, this is your game. It's just horrible shots, just bad offense, just bad. And, you know, of course, some of that was just because Tennessee's defense was good, because they were keeping Missouri off the board too. But it was just, it was a rough start. Everybody had a pretty bad start too. I mean, just nobody looked good. Dalton Knecht couldn't connect in the bucket. Adu was struggling. Tobe Awaka had come in. He struggled. I mean, everybody just did not look great right out of the gate. But everyone kind of came together later in that game, and Tobe Awaka played a lot bigger part. He finished the game just under 20 points, so maybe the highest that he scored this season. But, you know, ultimately the defense was good enough to win, and, you know, it shows how just how good this group is, because even despite having their worst performance of the season by far, they're still able to come together and beat a team. Really could have been more than just 5 points, but Missouri took a really late three, and that was kind of a weird sequence too, because you had Tennessee at the ball, and there was, I don't know, around 25 seconds on the play clock, and then on the shot clock you had about 10 seconds ahead of that, and Missouri had just pulled up like they were just done playing. And so Tennessee let the shot clock go out, trying to do the right thing, be the nice guy. Missouri gets the ball with maybe, I don't know, somewhere around 5 seconds left, and they just drive the ball down the court, and they try to make a play. It gets knocked out of bounds, and then again, after they get the ball back and it's situated, they get the ball, and on an inbounds pass, they make a three right at the last second. So it's like, why did you pull up like you were done putting an effort forth, and then you go down the court and do that? Just, I don't know, just to make the score look different. So, to me, it's kind of a tacky look. But, you know, Mizzou's head coach in the post game, he was not disrespectful at all. Very complimentary of Tennessee and the way they played and all that good stuff. So, I don't know. This is kind of a weird decision by them. But I guess they just want to get, you know, as many points as possible. Kind of like a, you know, Josh Heupel type of situation. He wants to get as many scores in as possible. I don't know. But they handled business in a really ugly performance. They bounced back very mightily against Texas A&M this past weekend. Very dominant win. Despite the dominant win, though, Jordan Ganey was a little bit more quiet. So, you know, he had kind of come together more as of late. He kind of found himself in some trouble early. He just was kind of pawing it too much. He was dropping his shoulder into people offensively. It just didn't look great. He just didn't look like he was going to have his best performance right out of the gate. So he, you know, got benched early, did not play as much, especially in the early minutes of that game. Ended up only having 14 minutes total. But you had some pretty good performances overall. You know, Don Connect had 24 points. Jonas Adu had 18 points. Zakai Ziegler had a very impressive stat line with 9 points, zero turnovers for him too. And that's something, you know, when you have a point guard giving you that type of play, it's real special. So, and Zakai Ziegler can really heat up from deep too. You know, Vescovi can take some shots if he ends up taking them. He makes a lot of those. He's a high percentage shooter when he starts taking them. Ziegler, again, he can heat up when he starts taking those shots. Josiah Jordan James, he's had a little bit of a struggle night, but he did have some, you know, some good points inside the paint. A couple pull-up two shots, you know, he was all right. Tobey Awaka in 17 minutes, he had 12 points. So just an overall pretty solid game. And on that same night, Kentucky actually beat Alabama. And it was at Kentucky. And I thought Alabama might have a hard time on the road, because although Kentucky has had their struggles, they're still a very talented team. But, you know, the story of that game was just ugly defense just all around. You know, good offense, but it seemed like neither team just wanted to play defense, because, you know, 90% of people, I would say, if you told them that they were going to score 95 points in Kentucky, you would have Alabama winning that game most likely. But, you know, It didn't work out that way. Kentucky dropped, I think, 117 points on Alabama. It was just a weird game. But, you know, that makes Alabama and Tennessee tied for first. And so that creates a little bit of drama coming into the next week, because, you know, Tennessee and Alabama are going to meet in Tuscaloosa for the rematch game. So they're going to be fired up for that one. But they got a pretty tough week coming up this week. Auburn coming up in the midweek slate on Wednesday. It's going to be tough there too. I mean, I feel a little bit better about that one being at home. But, you know, South Carolina got them at home, so no one's invincible. But home court advantage does seem to play a pretty big part, especially this year. And if they can get people involved like they were getting at the Texas A&M game, it definitely provides an advantage for that team. Because a lot of times, you know, people be sitting down and just not that involved, not invested. But they were, you know, rowdy and ready to get revenge against Texas A&M. So they bring that same energy. Definitely could help Tennessee, and I feel a lot better about it. But point blank, you know, Jonas Adu has been pretty good lately. Tobey Awaka has been a little bit better. But they got to be bigger than Johnny Broome, because Johnny Broome is going to score some points. He's going to get his, but you got to be bigger than him. So when you go up for rebounds, you got to come down with them more than he does. You got to get your points on offense. Can't miss layups, routine plays. You got to make them. Getting second chance points will be big for them too, because even if they're not shooting the best from three, if you get those second chance points, you know, some of the sins are forgiven. Obviously you got to eliminate bad scoring droughts. Tennessee is usually susceptible to falling into, you know, maybe one or two little ones, and you know that can happen to anybody. But this is the type of game, if you fall into a bad scoring drought against Auburn, they can make you pay, because you know they're not quite the team from the perimeter that Alabama is, and how Alabama wants to shoot so quick in the shot clock. But they can play that way, and they can be very aggressive, from the perimeter and inside the paint too. They just play to their advantage and kind of who they have on the court at that point. But, you know, they find ways to win games. And it's just a really sneaky, tough team. So you can't have bad scoring drives because they'll probably make you pay. Just make them uncomfortable. You know, don't let them feel comfortable in your house. So kind of, like I said, you know, make them feel uncomfortable with the fans there. And, you know, when they have an answer, you have an answer right back. So don't let them gain a ton of momentum, because that can be a killer for the fans and, you know, just for your morale as a team too. But overall, I like our chances there. Got a huge game coming up this weekend on the road in Alabama. It's going to be tough because they're going to be fired up for that. You know, they're going to want to win that game and take first. I'm not sure who Alabama has in the midweek slate. But, you know, it's kind of the same game plan as what they have against Auburn. Is just you know, be more physical. You know, don't have any bad scoring droughts because Alabama can score on you in a hurry. Alabama has to play Ole Miss in the midweek. So, you know, Alabama, that's not a walk in the park, and it's a road game for them. And with traveling and stuff, you know, that sometimes can make players tired, sluggish, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I like Tennessee's chances there. But if I had to say that they were going to lose one of those two games, I would probably say they lose in Tuscaloosa. I mean, if they play like they did in Knoxville against Alabama the first game, then, you know, they'll have no problem. But the reality of it is it just doesn't always work out that way. We all know that. So it's a big game, but just kind of the same game plan across those two games this week. And it would really help if Jordan Ganey can contribute more, especially on the road, because sometimes, you know, Josiah Jordan James, Vescovi, they tend to be a little bit more sluggish on the road, sometimes struggle to find points. And if they start missing shots and Ganey gets an opportunity to come in, he needs to contribute. He doesn't need to just have wasted minutes, you know, because there's some guys that, you know, is going to come in and play good defense, like Mayshak. But he's not going to be a big contributor. So you look to a guy like Ganey that, you know, has the ability. And if he can put down those shots and, you know, not get into foul trouble early, he should be okay. But, yeah, I like our chances in both. But if I had to say we're going to lose one, I'd probably say we win at home and lose on the road. But we'll see what happens there. So getting into baseball now. UNC Asheville, ETSU in the midweek slate. Tennessee won both of those games kind of in different fashions, though. UNC Asheville came at Tennessee with some weird stuff, kind of some slow pitching. And I think it was Wes Rucker. I saw him put out a tweet saying, you know, he loves seeing these small schools in these midweek games come in and just throw off-speed stuff that, you know, fastballs that are low 80s and stuff like that, because it's just stuff that you're not used to seeing against SEC-level pitchers. And so you're more tuned to hitting against that because that's what you practice in the offseason. You're just not really prepared for that type of stuff. So sometimes it kind of catch you with your pants down a little bit. But Tennessee did go on to win that game 3-2. It was also just kind of a weird lineup, trying to rotate some guys around, get different guys playing time. Like Ethan Payne started. And, you know, I've got no problem with Ethan Payne. He's obviously not going to be one of the lead contributors offensively. Maybe doesn't have the best stuff defensively, but he's a guy that's stuck around. He's been there for quite a while now. He's a super senior this year. So, you know, I like to see guys like that get an opportunity. So I have no problem with that, especially in those midweek games. And you never know, someone like that may catch fire too. But it was just kind of a weird lineup. But it was a good performance nonetheless. The three scores came off of a Tears home run. He has just been on a tear lately. Simo had a ribby, and Ansley hit a sack fly, and, I mean, that was all they needed to get it done. So, it is what it is. Schaefer pitched Andrew Behnke and Austin Hundley. Hundley got the win for the day, but they were all pretty good. And combined, I thought it was good that they only allowed one base on ball. And with the one walk, they had 10 strikeouts between the three. So, everybody got some free queso, I'm assuming. So, you know, maybe lackluster performance offensively, but they got the job done. But then you turn the page, and it's just a flip of the script against ETSU. Offense just exploded, and Tennessee ended up winning big 16-0. they introduced Dean Curley into the lineup playing shortstop, and it was a guy that we heard a lot about. You know, with Ariel Antigua, people wondered, Dean Curley, is he going to get a chance to maybe shine a little bit? And he has so far. And, he's looked really good. He's looked good defensively. And offensively, he looked really good, too. Had a big home run. Believe he had a triple that game, too. And so, anytime you get somebody contributing like that, especially as a freshman, that's a good sign. And I'm still not convinced that he may start over Ariel Antigua just because of how high they are on Ariel Antigua. But, it'd be something to kind of keep an eye on going forward with those guys. He's a piece, and who doesn't like a guy named Curley? It just sounds like a baseball name. Overall, they hit four homers that day, ended up winning 16-0. Of course, ETSU, they don't have their best stuff. It's just they can't throw everything they've got at Tennessee in a midweek game. They just can't, because you kind of go into that game thinking you're going to lose. A lot of backups got some experience too. I believe Alex Perry, Backus, some of those other guys got some experience, and that's good because some of those guys may end up having to come in and fill some roles. And some of those guys are not very far off from playing too. It's just how deep this team is. But if you ever get guys that are maybe struggling for an extended amount of time, going in a slump, you've got guys that can probably jump in at certain spots. Or at least come in and pitch hit, So that's always good to see. Next, Tennessee started. So this weekend, Tennessee starts the series against UAlbany. Friday, they ended up winning the game 8-5. It was a little bit closer than what these other two games ended up being. But I think Albany probably brought out their best arms on Friday. UT kind of struggled hitting at times, but, overall they got the job done. Didn't get to play as many backups, but still got it done. Had a really big inning in the third, and they scored their last three runs in the seventh inning. I kind of look to see them try to get a little bit more consistent as the game goes on, because you want to see the scoring spread throughout the game. You don't want to see it all just come in one inning, because, bottom line is that's not going to be good enough to win sometimes in SEC games. It's always good to have an explosion of offense, but definitely would like to see it spread out a little bit more. They, of course, still starting A.J. Russell on Friday. Chris Stamos came in, and he looked good. Causey looked good. Didn't look quite as good as they did last weekend, but, that happens sometimes. You kind of realize the level of competition you're playing against. And I'm not saying you don't put forth your best effort, but sometimes those other guys are just fired up, especially to start a series. And it was the first game of Albany's season, too. So that's something to get in mind. But, overall, good win. I guess a team that was just giving it their best shot. And then game two on Saturday, the bats were just on fire. Tennessee ended up winning 21-6. I wish I had the stat in front of me of how many hits they had, but, boy, they were on fire. Robin Villeneuve looked really good. I think that he's looked good enough this past weekend to earn a starting spot, like permanently, until he's shown otherwise, because he's shown that he's versatile. He was looked at as kind of the backup first baseman, but Burke has started hitting better, so I don't think they're going to be planning on moving Blake Burke anytime soon. I mean, it's hard to take somebody like that that's such a power threat out of the lineup anyways, but they played around with the lineup a little bit, and they actually took Hunter Inslee out. And so you saw Kaveris Tears in center field, and then you saw Dreiling and Kaveris Tears in the center, and you still saw Dreiling, and then Villeneuve ended up playing out there. So, he looked good in left field. He didn't have any crazy plays he had to make, but he looked good enough. But his bat, he's just too good to keep out of the lineup right now. It's just a hitting machine. His on-base percentage is like in the 700, and he's just looking good. So, I believe that he's played himself into a starting spot. And, you can always pinch hit him if you need to, but I think he should be starting as of right now. And maybe give him a rest in the midweek games and play some of your other guys. But, again, it's a good problem to have because they're so deep. It's a good problem to have. And they may run into some funky spots because it's hard to keep a bat like Cannon Peebles out of the lineup. But you still want to keep Cal Stark behind the dish in some games because he provides quite a spark. Cal Stark had a good game hitting, too, over the weekend. I believe he hit his first home run. He had one taken away and then was able to go back and get another one. So that was cool to see. And Beam on the mound, he gave up a lot of hits. I believe he gave up 6 hits, but he was able to get out of the bad situations. And we've seen that from Drew Beam before, where it's, you know, people will get hits off of him, especially early, that first, second inning. And that's no surprise. You know, Tennessee pitchers have dealt with that in conference play too. You know, think back to Dolander and some of Burns' time there and stuff, and even Andrew Lindsay. A lot of those guys, they're all super good, but they still, you know, they gave up hits and they had to work themselves out of situations, and especially early. Beam has been no different in the past, so it shouldn't be a surprise. He's going to be fine, but it was just, you know, it kind of is what it is. And he worked himself out of the bad spots, so you can't really ask for more than that. It turned into just a depth game, and then you saw guys coming in. You know, Colby Backus came back in, hit a homer. A lot of other guys getting involved too. So it's always good to get guys like that more experience, because you can never go wrong with that. And then today, on Sunday, game 3, Tennessee ended up winning. No surprise, it was another good game for Robin. He hit another home run. I want to say he hit 2. I don't know why I'm blanking on that, but I know he at least had 1. I think he had a couple deep hit balls. But, you know, again, he's just playing himself to a starting role. Tennessee ended up winning that one 12-0. Again, no Hunter Ensley in the lineup. He did get brought into the game late. Kaveris Tears to center, and kind of a concern. It doesn't seem like, with what Tony said, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a concern, what he said in the post game. But Dean Curley got absolutely sniped with an 88-mile-per-hour, you know, quote-unquote fastball. But still, 88 does not feel good hitting the dome piece. It does not. It looks like it caught the side of his helmet. Precautionary, they took him out of the game just in case he was a little shook up. I mean, you know, if you get hit in the head, you're probably coming out, unless you just got to be out there. And, you know, they may be maybe a little bit cautious with him since they've got some depth there. You know, they can move Christian Moore to shortstop and bring in Brad Keylowry, which is what they did to finish off this game. After that, it kind of sucked that it happened so early, because I really like to see that guy play. But, you know, he has made his impact, and I think he's potentially made a case to be competitive when Antigua gets healthy, to see who's going to start at short. And you may see those guys battle it out as the year goes on. I don't know. I mean, it's just really hard to keep that guy out of the lineup after what he has done so far. And I know it's against lesser than competition, so I'd be curious to see what he does against maybe some of these better teams. Like, you know, hopefully by this time Antigua will be healthy, but you got Illinois coming to town before conference play. They got a midweek game against Kansas State. So you got some good teams that you got before conference play comes up. Some more opportunities to get some of these guys some experience. Tennessee run ruled them, you know, and I think they learned their lesson from game 2 that they really did not stand a chance, especially the arms that they had left to do and work with. So it kind of turned into a depth game at the end. Pitching-wise, Seacrest was good. Snead looked great to me. You know, anytime you got a guy approaching 100 like that, and we know that he can hit 100, it's really, really good. And I think that's potentially going to be the battle for the Sunday spot. I'm still curious about Wyatt Evans personally. I don't know what the deal is with him. He's not pitched at all. People, I think, you know, at the end of last season when Chase Burns originally hit the portal, some people speculated that Wyatt Evans may just walk into that role because he's a lefty. And I think they want to have a lefty in that starting rotation. But, you know, the bad thing about today is Seacrest didn't really get to go deep into that game. So we don't know how long he can really stay in there for. And you got to think that's not going to be their game plan, is to start somebody for a couple innings and then bring Nate Snead in behind him. So almost I'm leaning towards thinking that as we get closer to conference play, that Nate Snead may be getting closer to winning that job. But we'll see what happens. You know, I don't think Seacrest has really done anything to lose that job, and it's really nice to have a lefty in that rotation. But Nate Snead, he's almost too good to keep out of that starting role. But, you know, I'd be really fine with either way, so we'll just see what happens. It was our first Kirby Connell signing of the year too, so he came in, faced his batter, and sat him down, and that's really all you can ask for from him. He's one batter type of guy, and they'll bring him in. Sometimes he'll get multiple appearances on a weekend. Sometimes it's just one. You know, they've got so much depth, it's not like they need him. But it is a unique tool to have to kind of come in, bring some different stuff. And I believe that he got clocked at 90 miles per hour on a fastball today. And to my knowledge, that's the fastest I've ever seen him throw a ball. So congrats to him on that. Plus, dude's mustache is just – it's just too good. You got to give that guy some TV time. Looking at next week, it's not going to be super exciting for baseball. You know, most eyes are going to be on basketball, but you do got to watch for High Point. They come to play in the midweek slate. They just beat Ole Miss, which is not saying a whole lot because I think Ole Miss is still down a little bit, which Ole Miss won the series against High Point this weekend. But, you know, High Point, they can be a tough squad. You know, you don't want to mess around with them. But like I said, it's not like Ole Miss is the, you know, world champion, best team in the SEC. It's just, it is what it is. And I expect Tennessee to take care of business there. And Bowling Green, if we're being honest, they're pretty bad. I mean, they're just not that great. I really can't give them a compliment. They're just not that good. It would be a little bit of a disappointment if Tennessee lost a game to Bowling Green. So I expect them to take care of business in the weekend slate too. Now my question is just, who's going to be coming out as the Sunday starter? Because I feel like Nate Snead has really made a case to try to compete for that. But we'll see what happens. You know, really this week just need to take care of business. But we're getting closer to conference play. So, you know, they're going to have to start making some tough decisions with some of these guys, you know, figuring out who they want in the rotations and all that good stuff. But ultimately this week, it's just a take care of business week, move on to the next, get closer to conference play, get closer to some of those better games coming up like Kansas State and Illinois, and see what we got from there. So, yeah, that's a big recap and kind of a small look ahead to what we got going on next week. Like I said, most eyes are going to be on basketball. Completely fine. Got no problem with that. My eyes will be that way as well. But, you know, it's going to be exciting nonetheless. Love watching all the teams play. A lot of success from everybody. Did not take a loss this week. And we did not in court either. So that was also good to see. But that's really all I got for this one. So I think I did pretty good on time. Not too bad. But, yeah, we'll see you guys on the next episode. If you want to, you can find me on social media. Instagram is at Big Orange Buzz. Twitter is at Big Orange Buzz _. So come, you know, say, hey, we can talk about sports. Talk about, you know, who you think should be in that Sunday spot starting at pitching. Talk about, you know, what your favorite lineup has been. Do you like Christian Moore leading off? Or do you, you know, tend to like Hunter Ensley leading off? Just let me know your thoughts. But, yeah, we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one today. And as always, go Vols.